I have to say I have a heavy heart right now. Because even as late as this morning, I got three memos from people in the church with serious problems. This has been going on for a while with others. Serious, serious problems. Problems which lead me to ask, are the individuals dealing with those? Because, you know, there is a strong warning in the Bible. Paul is telling us that if we do not take and partake of the Passover in a worthy manner, not discerning the Lord's body, he said, we are eating and drinking judgment to ourselves. And he says, and for this very reason, many of you are sick, and some have already died prematurely. So he is cautioning us that we don't partake of the Passover just as a matter of routine, because we got to do it, and it's just the annual thing to do. He says, you are in grave danger if you do that. You are in grave danger because you might be taking the Passover unworthily. And I tell you one thing. If you do, it's only a matter of time until you leave the church, until you leave God. Last year, somebody partook of the Passover. The way the circumstances didn't allow me, I had serious doubts, but they didn't allow me to talk to the person ahead of time. And I don't want to go into all of this, but anyhow, he took the Passover. He should never have, because less than a week later, he had left the church. God will make that very manifest. And we shouldn't kid ourselves, and we shouldn't kid God. Now, as a minister, I am not going to refuse and reject somebody to take the Passover unless I see the person is living in sin, let's say he's living or she's living in an adulterous situation and fornication, that kind of thing. But I still need to caution everyone to make sure that the Passover is not being taken in an unworthy manner. And if somebody is not dealing with the problems, looking at them casually as something which are not important to take care of before the Passover, then I would say the person shouldn't take the Passover, because it's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Let me ask you a question. Who is the most important person in your life? Or let me ask you the question this way. Who are the most important persons in your life? And the answer is who? God the Father, and Jesus Christ. And then there are millions upon millions and billions of light years of nothing. And then, after that, come individuals, human beings. But who then would be the most important person in your life when it comes to the individuals? Let's say you are married, you have children. Who? Your mate, not your children, your mate. If you have that upside down, you have already your priorities wrong. You see? Then come the children, the family. But you see, you got to have that straight. And so again, the question is, if God is the most important person in your life, how do you show that in your life? It's interesting what Michael Link talked about. You know, I didn't know that he would be talking about that, but he talked about prayer. I thought about it this morning. How often do you pray? How long do you pray? About what do you pray? I asked somebody, not here in the United States, to pray and fast about a certain situation, hoping that God would not only show the person, but also that the person would accept what God would be showing him. And then he wrote back after a while, oh yeah, I prayed and I fasted about it, and it's not a problem. I don't have a problem. And so my answer was, well, you obviously didn't fast and pray in the right way. because you definitely have a problem. You see, but again, he came already up with the conclusion he didn't, because his prayer, whatever he prayed for, wasn't the right one. Let's say you are retired, living at home. Let's say you are a housewife, working at home. Let's say you are somebody who's going out for work. Before you leave the house, before you do your daily chores at home, I mean, I'm working from home. Before I start getting really busy on something, do I pray? Do I pray to God for his guidance, for his help, for his direction throughout the day? If I don't do that, things will go wrong. I guarantee it. They will go wrong. There will all kinds of problems come up. And then you wonder, why is it? Why is it that I have all these problems, these trials, these difficulties? Well, I have problems with this another person. I have problems with this person, that person. Things just go wrong. Well, if you don't pray, how can you expect God to help you? What about Bible study? Are you closing your Bible after service today, and it's closed throughout the week, and then you come to the next service and you might open it again, and throughout the week you never read the Bible? You never let God speak to you. You have problems. You pray to God, and then God is answering many times the problems in the Bible. Well, if you don't let God speak to you, you don't have the relationship with God you should have. You are not going to get the answers from God. And then you wonder why everything seems to be going wrong in your life. Why do we sin? Why do we envy our neighbor? Why do we still harbor grudges? Why do we have a bad marriage? Why do we have a bad relationship with our boss? Why do we have a bad relationship with children? Why do we have a bad relationship with members in the church? Why are we sinning against others by lying to them? By perhaps hating them in our heart, committing murder, actually, in the eyes of God? If we have a relationship which is to be repaired, are we taking all the necessary steps to do that? How can we take the Passover if we still have these unsolved and unresolved problems? Why do we sin? The answer is always the same. Now, you can blame whoever you want to blame. The answer is you are not close enough to God. If you are not close enough to God, you will sin in many different ways. You will not have that joy we talked about in the editorial, in the forum. Are you a joyous person? If you're not, why not? Why not? Are you not close enough to God? You know, we are talking about the fact that people, and I've been in the church for a long, long time, people committed suicide. Ministers I know of personally committed suicide. Why? Why? Later it became clear why. They had turned their back on what they should have done. And they became so frustrated that they didn't find any way out. And, you know, again, this is not happening from one day to the next. This is a long road. It starts somewhere. It goes on for a long time. That's the final result. We need to make sure that we don't fall into this trap. I want to talk about marriage. The number one problem in the Church of God always has been marriage problems, followed by financial problems. Of course, financial problems very well could go into the marriage problem situation, could be part of it. You know, I officiated a marriage. It's going to be 2 years from now, coming May 1. And I asked the two individuals, and of course I'm talking about marriages in the church. See, I'm not talking about, let's say, somebody is married to somebody else and then he becomes converted, the other one is not. I'm talking about two converted people in the church. And I talked, and I had seen some potential issues, and I talked to them at length before I even was willing to conduct the marriage. And then I did conduct it, because I was assured that everything was fine. And then I asked the question, which we always ask when we officiate a marriage. Do you promise in front of God, in front of these witnesses, that you will love your husband or that you will love your wife until death do you part? And of course, when it comes to the wife, you also have to add the term, will you submit to your husband? Now, I looked at the lady straight in the eye, and she looked at me. She said, yes. And we had talked about this before. And so then I nodded and she nodded. We knew exactly what we were talking about. It lasted 6 months. And then she separated from her husband. And now she's filing for divorce. In this particular country, in Germany, you have to wait 2 years before you can file for divorce. What happened to that promise? It was a promise given to God. It was a lie. You see, if you make a promise and you don't keep it, you are lying. Right? Rather than working on a situation, I mean, how can you possibly promise that you love your husband, that you love your wife, and then 6 months later, the love is gone, right? How can that be? How can that be? You are judged by God as lying. And if you are in a situation where you have a marriage problem, you had better take care of that before the Passover. Otherwise, you had better not take the Passover. Because God isn't mocked. It is that serious. You see, if you are committing sins and the sins are not forgiven, the death penalty is still over your head and you are looking towards eternal death. That's how serious that is. So let's not fool and kid ourselves. You know, we're not only talking about physical death, which might very well be the result, as Paul has been saying, we're talking about ultimate death. So let's not make that mistake. I just wanted to say these few things because it's so serious. And when I see the problems being reported to me from all over the place, and I had already prepared a sermon I wanted to give this next week for our German brethren, it's gone. That sermon is gone. I'm going to give a sermon about what I'm just talking about today, because that's the last time I can speak to them prior to the Passover. It is that serious. And let's not make any mistake. God is watching all of us, and you know, you do your part. You cannot change another person. Don't even try it. But you need to change yourself. You got to work on yourself. You look at yourself. You examine yourself. Where I am wrong, I have to make this change. Right? That's what you got to do. Otherwise, I'm telling you, you had better not take the Passover. But I pray that you are going to, but do it worthily.